Okay, so today is May 29th, 2019, and we're going to do lesson number 237, lengthening the arms and legs with examination. Again, we have done this lesson before, but I will put today's date after it because I've changed it quite a bit. That's just kind of been my new thing. And it's been really fun for me to kind of reinvent some of these lessons. Okay, so we always begin on our back with our legs long, our arms long, checking in to noticing how we feel today, drawing awareness and attention to ourselves. Really paying attention to the upper back, what I call those shoulder blades, and then your arms, right? How are your arms sitting inside of the shoulder joints, the sockets, since we're going to work with that quite a bit today? How are those shoulder blades resting on the floor? Right, so you're looking for things that feel comfortable, things that don't feel as comfortable, parts of you that feel different from one side to the other. Right, those are all the ways that you examine yourself, you start to sense yourself. And then traveling down to your pelvis, observing and noticing how your pelvis is resting on the floor, each side of your pelvis, how your hip joints and legs are feeling inside your pelvis. And then slowly and gently rolling your head a little bit to the right and left, observing the quality of rolling your head to each side and how that feels. And then once you bring your head back to the center, take another moment to just examine your spine. Okay, so where we left off with was doing the candle holder lesson. So we'll start there so that we link today's lesson. So bend your knees, bring your feet to standing. Your heels need to be lined up with your pelvis. And then bring your arms into the, what I call the candlestick position. That means your fingertips are pointing towards the ceiling. Your palms are facing towards your feet. It's very important that your knees, Marlene, elbows down. There, candlesticks. There you go. So your elbows are lined up with your shoulders, and then your fingers are lined up with your elbows, so you're making a right angle, right? So this is really important. And then the first direction that we went was up in the direction towards your head. You just go as far as is comfortable. So have your arms out, your elbows out to the side. Straight lined up. There you go. Only go as far as it's comfortable and come back. And then what we added in is that you use your feet to lift your pelvis high in the air, which will allow the arms to completely touch the floor up by your head. And then keeping them there, you lower your pelvis back down. It's not a matter of need.
Lifting like this?
So, yes. So the whole reason that you lift the pelvis, as I explained for those of you that were here the last 2 weeks, you are shifting your rib cage around your shoulder joints, instead of moving your shoulder joint all the time. So the whole reason for lifting the pelvis is to reorganize the rib cage relative to to the shoulder. Up, up, up. That's it. And then see if you can allow those wrists. There you go. See, you really need this. Yeah. And since Marlene asked that question, what's important is to get a visual of this, right? So you have these two shoulder joints. They're round ball joints. And they're housed inside the socket. And you're lifting up the rib cage, which houses the sockets, and changing the position of the sockets. So it makes it easier for the joint. You're creating space. And how do we lose space? We lose space when we get very rounded and forward. And then our shoulders come forward. Beautiful. Okay, now let's go the other direction. So bring the arms back to the Roman candle. And then you're going to start to take the palms forward towards the floor, towards where the pelvis is. And you only go as far as it's comfortable. And again, now we're going to shift the rib cage by lifting your head and looking towards the space in between your legs. So then you fold the clavicles, you fold the rib cage and chest, and it makes it easier around the joints. And then make sure you're breathing. Good. Okay. Let it go. Lengthen your legs. Rest your arms. Rest. And just observe, how does your rib cage, your trunk feel now? How do those shoulder joints feel now? So just let your arms rest down by your sides, long. They don't need to be in the bent position anymore, so you're just resting. Okay, so then from here, bring your arms back to the candlestick. And if you can recall, we're going to start with the right arm is going to go up and the left arm down.
With our legs long?
We're going to get to that. That's it. Now you're going to add in bending just the left leg. Okay? So with the left leg standing, you can push the left foot into the floor and let the pelvis roll a little bit, which will allow the right arm to flatten up a little bit more. Right? Are we good? So everybody remembers how to roll the pelvis. Tom, keep that knee, remember? Never, ever let your knee go in. That's it. And now it's not lifting, Tom, rolling. Roll the pelvis. That's it. Roll. Beautiful. So, Leah, you stay with right arm up, left arm down. You don't go the other direction. You only do that direction. So the rolling of your pelvis, the opening of your hip, the lengthening of your spine allows the right arm to be easier up, the left arm down. Are we good? So now we're going to progress. So once the right arm is down, right, you're going to start to lengthen it up to straighten it. And you're going to start to straighten the left arm down. And this is where we finished off last week. Do we remember that? That's it, Marlene. But I want you to roll the pelvis more. More. So, with your pelvis, your belly button should be turned towards the right wall. Okay? So if that is challenging, that's how tight your hip joints are. And if your hip joints are tight, probably your shoulders are tight. So, over here, I'm on the right side of the room. Belly buttons. They're to come this way. Right? Nice, Tom. And your knee is always pointing at the ceiling. Why is the knee pointing at the ceiling? Why? What are you doing? No. What are you doing? This is so important. It's okay not to be right. So she said the wrong thing. She said rotating the hip. Do you know the power in being wrong? There's more power in being wrong than right. Because 90% of the time, when you're right, you don't know why you're right. I remember I took this one time. I mean, so bizarre how you remember things, right? So that whole thought takes me to this science class when I was in chemistry. Maybe I think it was chemistry. Is chemistry where you're doing oxygen and, right? Okay. Anyways, we had a pop quiz. And I got 100%. And I have no idea why, because I had no idea how I answered the questions. That scared me. Because I was right, and I got 100% on the test, and I have no idea how I answered them. Yes, and I just happened to pick all the right ones. Being right doesn't really serve you. Making mistakes is our greatest gift to learn. So, you're not moving the hip. How do you know you're not moving the hip? How do you know you're not moving the hip? So what does that mean? Talk a little bit more to us, Corinne. There you go. Everybody hear that? You're moving the pelvis, not the hip. The hip joint is the ball sitting in the socket of the pelvis. The hip is connected to your knee. What did I tell you not to move? You don't move the knee. So you're not moving the hip. So what are you doing? You're turning your pelvis around the hip joints, just like you turn the rib cage around the shoulder joints. So we are moving the largest part of you around these small joints. Now, God bless you. Did you learn something? See the power of being wrong, Bonnie? Mm-hmm. Now, what are you doing, Bonnie? Tell me what your experience of what you're doing is now.
I'm rotating my pelvis.
Right. So the pelvis, is that the hip joint?
No.
You're turning your pelvis around the hip joint. Excellent. Come back and rest. I exhausted you. No, seriously, it's an interesting thing because when we're younger and stuff like that, it's like getting A's and wanting to be right and having the right answer. And it's just like we grow up really not developing comfortableness being wrong. We think the whole thing is right and getting the right answer, right? I'm telling you, it's another beautiful thing about this work. It was like when I got really comfortable not knowing. Right? Because then you're constantly learning. So, how are you feeling with that right shoulder now? That right arm? Does that right arm feel longer now? Okay, let's stay with it a little longer. So let's bend the left leg again. Bring the arms to the candlestick position. So you're going to take, because I got off on a tangent, right? We got off on the tangent of the hip and pelvis. Right arm up, left arm down, same thing. Roll the pelvis, because I really want you to feel how the rib cage is moving around the shoulder joints, right? So you got two parts of you. You've got the trunk of you, your rib cage, and your pelvis. And they're turning around these four ball joints. So you're looking, and then you're lengthening the arms to become long, and then it's easy to have them long and flat because your rib cage and pelvis is turning around them. And then you're breathing. Okay, so now we're going to mix it up a little bit. Keep going. So come back, bring your arms back, and guess what? You're going to change the legs. Oh, goodness.
Thank goodness.
But you do not change the arms. Oh, yeah. Right arm up, left arm down, right leg bent, left leg long. Roll the pelvis to the left. Okay, so the arms do the exact same thing. Remember, you're straightening them. You're not just taking them, but you're lengthening. So those elbows can be long. I'm super lucky that way. I've hyperextended arms and elbows, so mine always look straight. They actually go the other way. They look a little deformed. So lengthen the arms, but roll the pelvis in the other way, to the left. And now, CJ, straighten them. That's it, straighten the arms. Breathe. So for some of you, that made you hold your breath. Good. Okay, let's rest it. So I was talking to Lynn a little bit earlier. So Mia's up in LA, right, doing this internship. And it's really great because she's learning basic skills. So yesterday she learned how to make the coffee. And we got such a kick talking about this because I told her my first graphic design job, it was the same thing. And, you know, I get really worried about her, and she told me, she's like, Mom, I took the red line so early, I got there a half an hour before the building even opened up. I guess I shouldn't worry, right? She's not running late. She was there before everybody. And then they taught her how to make the coffee, and we chuckled because I said, that's what I learned to do. That was, right? And then they also taught her how to learn how to answer the phone. Now, I know those things sound to us, right? We're seasoned adults, right? Like, those are easy things, but not really, right? And you gotta learn somewhere how to answer phones, and that's not such an easy thing, depending on how the person is on the other line. Or making coffee. And she figured out how to get there, and she figured out how to take the red line. She figured out really quick not to drive. Okay. How's the right arm feeling? Feels different, right? Great. Okay, let's bring the arms back to the beginning position. So let's go to the other side. We're going to bend the left leg again. Sorry, I said it wrong. The right leg. I'm looking at Lennon, I'm thinking right, left. I get confused upside down. So the left arm is going to go up and the right arm down. You're going to engage, pushing the right foot. And Tom, what do you do with the right knee? What happens with the right knee? Stays up, right? So the belly button comes over to the left. The left arm goes up, the right arm down, and then eventually you lengthen them. You want to think of those elbows lengthening the shoulders, right? And you want to think about as much of the arms can remain in contact with the floor. What part of the arm that's in contact changes, right? So truly when you're moving your rib cage and pelvis around these joints, the arms can rest comfortably on the floor. And I know for many of you that's like, oh my gosh. It's been a long time since your arms rested comfortably on the floor. There's always a part, whether it's the wrist, right, the forearm, something lifted, something tense. And then make sure you're breathing. That's it, Leah. See if you can roll your pelvis more. Roll your rib cage more. Come over here. Come all the way over onto your side. Yeah. Right? Now, let that arm relax. Yeah. You're working it too hard. Yeah, so if you need to touch the thumb like that, and now just think of the arm relaxing. Keep turning your rib cage. Keep turning your rib cage. Keep turning your chest towards me. More. There! Oh my God, that gave you some relief. I mean, it's not, right? Is it really about the shoulder or is it about all the rib cage?
Everything.
Everything. That's it. Stay with it. Okay, let's come back and rest again. Okay, come back, rest. So once I learn to make coffee, we'll see what Mia's next thing is. So my next task, so, you know, life, there are no mistakes in life at all. I mean, I feel so fortunate that everything seems to have lined up in my life. Like when I look back, like it couldn't be more perfect. So with this first job, so I worked for this guy. I'm pretty sure his name was David. Anyways, he was an exceptional designer. So once I learned to do coffee, I got black magic markers. And my job was, so David, this man, he had this, he was really an interesting man. He had this itty bitty office. He had the smallest office of all of us, right? Because he wanted this door closed, right? And this small table. And he was the person that made logos. Do you guys know what logos are? Okay. To this day, his logos are still out there. He did U.S. Bank, World of Bank, First Interstate was a bank back in Arizona. Hospitals like in Maryland, the Bethesda Hospital. Anyways, so let's just look at U.S. Bank for a minute, right? You got a U and an S together. And he took compasses and redid the curves of these, the U and the S together, the shapes, on 8.5x11 white papers and handed them to me. And I got to color in what part was to be black and what was to be staying white. Then the main room was a room like this, but even bigger because there was many graphic designers, right? And we had a cloth wall, kind of like what's here. And I'd have to get up on a ladder and push pin in the wall all of these that I did, the black and whites. And you guys, sometimes it was 30 to 40 different versions. All he has done is changed the shape of the S or the U, right? little thicker, a little thinner, one thicker, one thinner, right? And then he would stand at the back of the room, and he had, you know those things to collect trash on the beach, like they, right? He had that, and he would just stand back there, and then he'd walk closer, and he'd just start pulling the ones off that were rejects, okay? Now, this could sound like the most boring job possible, like, right, this is what I did for 8 hours, was just black markers coloring in, right? Oh my God, did I learn from him? What did I learn? The smallest degree of change. What he looked for is he looked for the moment that the image was most pleasing to the eye, that your eye would stay there long enough, so that people would go there because their eye would stay long enough. If your eye left the image too quick, you wouldn't dial it down. This is why he was the best in the country. This is all this guy did, is logos. He's the best. I got to work for him. But boy, did I learn, like, the smallest little change, if your eyes left, like, it wasn't pleasing to the eye. And we went through hundreds of variations. I mean, it just felt crazy at times, you know? But I learned so much, which led into this work, because I was studying this method at the same time. The smallest degree of change, what you just experienced, taking your chest a little bit further, freed up the shoulder a little bit more. Back to your arms. Bring them back up. Let's change the leg. So now you are going to bend the other leg, right? We're going to take the left arm up, the right arm down, and the left leg is bent, so the opposite leg, and straighten them. So that's what you're doing in here, right? We take these movements that I describe, and you look for the smallest change. Where could you just shift something just the smallest degree? That's why I told you this story. Not to bore you, CJ, about my black markers. But it was just, right? So if you go back over your life, I think all of us have these incredible connections in our life of what something taught us. So go back and forth. Remember, don't stay over there. So you're exploring where can you create improvement, right? So like the image that he and I would work with, you're looking for comfort, right? Where's the smallest degree of change that all of a sudden it's more pleasing, the movement? Because when something's pleasing, we return to it. That's it. Now keep your arms up and let's just change the legs again. And let's just see how it's easier. So let's go back to the right leg, taking the left arm up and just see again, did you find something to create a little more ease? That these arms through the elbows, beautiful Corinne, can be fully straight because you're turning again your rib cage and your pelvis around your arms. And then what are you doing with your head? Which way do you want to turn your head? What are you doing with your chin and your throat that we discussed last two sessions? Right? How can you continue to progress? Beautiful. Okay, and then let's rest it. Yeah, so I mean, for some people, it could sound really boring to work for David. I was super intrigued, and so I wanted to learn to see what he was seeing. Like how he knew, right? I mean, one thing I learned early on is when you're around somebody smart, learn from them. They have a lot to offer. So now hopefully you guys, so like McDonald's, I mean like the list is like endless. Burger King, McDonald's. So like look at Burger King, like the shape of the words, right? They're puffy and like kind of like the bun, right? I mean, you have no idea how much thought is put into these things. Oscar Mayer, right? And these things haven't changed. 50, 60, right? They've been around probably 50 years, right? 40, 50 years. Go. You don't have to tell me. Okay, so now let's see if you can just bring the right arm up to be long and keep the left arm down. So we're going to start from that position. Okay, right arm up, left arm down. Yeah. Okay, now let's go back to bending the left leg. So I had you start in this new place so you can see where things get held around the elbow and so forth, right? So it's a new starting place. And now taking your time, you're gonna roll the pelvis to the right, and then you're also gonna let your right knee start to bend out to the right side. Yeah. So see if the right knee bends out to the right, that allows the pelvis to go a little further in the rib cage. So how does the bending of the right knee, and it stays on the floor. So Dana, can you bend the right knee? That one, yeah. So it's like sliding out along the floor, right? There. How does that assist the pelvis and rib cage a little bit more to help the arm? So yeah, if you ever need to just, you guys are nice to tell me, but if you just need to leave early, you can let me know. So, the right leg's okay, but what are you doing with the left leg? Uh-huh, remember that, left knee stays up.
I don't understand bending the right knee.
So you bend the right knee out to the side on the floor, so bend it. Out to the side, yeah, more. Right knee. And then keep the left one up. Yeah. Yeah. There you guys go. So, and really try to keep the knee on the floor. So some of you are lifting it. And then you, again, ask yourself, it's because you're tight in the pelvis. Now, you're going to start to slide that right foot behind the left when you roll to the right. And you can reach down with the left hand and touch that foot. That's it, Tom. So I call it bringing it in the gap. That's it. So now what do you need to do with the rib cage? Right? You got to bend a little bit more. What do you want to do with your head, your throat? Beautiful, Corinne. Right? So now we're adding the side bending. And then come all the way back to the start. So let it go. Right, so now you really have to bend in the ribs. See if that left hand can reach down and get a hold of the right foot. And then just feel at that moment the ease with the right arm and shoulder. Right? It's just easy breezy because you've taken the chest, the sternum to another degree. Beautiful. Now, try one more thing is that, you know, again, can you let the back of your head slide a little more down to the right, or left, excuse me. Right? So everything's the same, but just think of the back of the head moving back to open the throat more and chest more. when you get a hold of the right foot. So you were going the right way, Lynn. So you're looking at that hand, but you just take the back of your head towards the shoulder. Even more. There! Okay, come back and rest. I think a couple others that he did is like Macy's, Sears, right? All these one word, yeah. I mean, I was just so lucky. He was extraordinary. So you just think, well, like, you know, like, look at Macy's and just, it's this really thin line and, you know, right? But you can picture it in your head right now. That's the whole point, that you don't forget. Like, I say Burger King and you know it. I say McDonald's, you know the golden arches, right? So that's what a logo specialist does. Never did I realize the shapes and stuff of letters meant so much, right? Never, right? Oh, he was a great person to work for. Okay, let's try the other side. So that means your left arm is going to be long. So we're going to start with the left arm long because I want you to see up by your head how it starts. Right arm down. You're going to bend the right leg, bring it to standing. Okay? And then you're going to start by pushing the right foot into the floor. You're going to slowly introduce the bending of the left knee. Right? So don't slide it through the gap yet. Right? Don't be in a rush. Right? Just like me doing the black marker and the papers. I don't know how many I did a day, 20, 30, 40. Don't be in a rush. Because I had to stay in, I had to do the outline first. And then I had to make sure that the marker stayed in and didn't bleed. It was not something that you could whip out really quick. It took a lot of concentration. Steady hands. And then you just continually progress with bending that left knee. Slowly introducing the thought, the idea that your right hand is going to reach down, right? As the left arm gets longer, flatter, your chest is lifting, your throat, your chin, the back of your head is now sliding to the right towards your shoulder as you reach down for the left heel, right? So even though I'm not doing, because we're going to come back to this lesson in 2 weeks, all the variations. What I'm doing with you in these last 3 weeks is I'm taking more time with the variations for you to feel all the different incremental changes that allow something to become more easy. You know, sometimes if we rush through 30 or 40 movements, you lose sight of just some different possibilities. Right, just shifting your sternum and chest a little bit more, how that frees things up a little bit. Taking the back of your head towards the back of your shoulder. And that's not an easy thing. For many of us, it's very uncomfortable to open our throat like that. Very uncomfortable. It's like these, you know, like the ski jumpers. Well, divers are the same way. I'm always in awe how they can do these flips and turns and feel so comfortable with it. Okay, and come back and let's rest again. Bring your arms down, your legs down. See how we're doing. Yeah, so part of this lesson, which I didn't want to do today, but we will do in 2 weeks, is you come up to leaning on your elbows and forearms and then add in other variations with the legs. And I just felt like that's too much with what we're opening up because it feels, every time I did it at home, it felt like I was recompressing. So we will add that piece in 2 weeks. Or just sense how your legs feel, your shoulders. So let's go back to the beginning of bending your knees, bringing your feet to standing, bringing the arms back to candle, Roman candles, so the fingers are towards the ceiling. And then once again, taking the back of the hands up, keeping the pelvis down for right now, right? And just feeling how this is, right? So again, did something change? Did something get easier? Leah, right? Radically different for you.
Yes.
Right, like this isn't really a big deal. So now we're gonna add a little variation to this. So once you get the arms up there, this is because summer's on its way. It is, I promise you, summer's on its way. So now you're gonna slide your hands to come underneath your head. So you just fold the hands and bring them under your head. Elbows still out to the side. And notice which hand you put on top of the other. So change them, see if it makes a difference in the armpits. So it's a little different now, isn't it, in the armpits and with the elbows up like this. So with your legs, keeping this position and keep the hands in the most comfortable position, you're going to lift your pelvis from this place. And see if you lift the pelvis and chest, can those elbows relax a little bit more? And then lower. All right, so this is like you laying out in the sunshine, catching some sun. All right, just taking it easy. And then pause with your pelvis just to change over your hands and then continue. You might even think to yourself, when was the last time I put my hands behind my head like this? Nice, Tom. Nice bridge. Up, 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 Dana. Up, there you go. Good. Okay. Lower. Slide your hands out, your arms down. Lengthen everything and rest. Just see what happened with that. So the other thing that I'm doing by linking these lessons together lately is, in a way, it's a lot more repetition. And so who you thank for that is Stella Bella. She's taught me a lot about repetition. You haven't met Stella Bella. Because I got her a year ago, and when I took her to puppy class, and I mean, I think that this is the assumption for all of us, like, that they should just understand what to do, you know, puppy class. And, you know, here it is, she's now turned a year later. And just, no, she was not doing things. So I started back up in February with treats every walk. It's just repetition, repetition, repetition. And then you remove the treats, but you give them positive affirmation. But it's ongoing. It's a little tedious, but I'm learning with her, right? Repetition's so important. So I like that I'm coming back and weaving these things in for you. Okay. So we're going to try one other thing. Bring your arms back up, Roman candles, bring your legs up. Okay, so this one's a little trickier. So you're going to take your arms down, that's right, and then you're going to slide your fingers towards your waistline. So you're going to lift the pelvis up high in the air so you can bring the hands under that way, and then slowly you'll lower your back and pelvis back down, and then you'll lift again. So again, notice what hand you put on top of the other, right? So this is a very different relationship inside the shoulder joint with the chest, because we're still involving the pelvis, but not your head. You okay, CJ? Yeah? That's it. So yeah, Tom, it's a little easier if the hands are under the lower back. It's almost like there's a space there. Make sure you're breathing. Good. Now, we're gonna, can you stay with this for a little longer? Okay, so keep the right leg bent, straighten the left. And go back to pushing the right foot into the floor, rolling the pelvis with the arms staying behind you. Move that pelvis, Bonnie. Don't ask that question. Which leg is standing? That's it. You guys should know by now. That's it. And then you slowly bring the rib cage back down, right? On top of, so it's a little trickier. Make sure you're breathing. Okay, pause, come back, and we're going to change the leg. So bend the left leg, straighten the right. Go slowly, and we're going to start to go to the right. Leah, did you come back last summer? You yeah. Didn't, did you?
You went on the trip.
Yeah, so you were here last summer. I had Stella Bella then.
That's right.
I did. She was just a little whippersnapper. She still is. That's it, right? So as you're doing this side, right, it's really different, right? So you're learning a lot about how your chest moves, how it likes to move maybe more to one side than the other, what's happening with the shoulders, the elbows. So just one or two more times and then we'll let it go. Okay, come back. Let's bend both legs. Lift your pelvis to gently slide out your arms because they might be a little sore. I kept you long. Straighten the legs, arms, and really rest. Oh! Right? Something really happened. With your rib cage, right? Because the rib cage, right, Bonnie, houses the shoulder joints. The pelvis houses the hips. So just take a nice rest here, really feeling a lot of change has occurred. Notice your breath and your breathing. Roll your head a little bit to the right and left. So yeah, so please do come. I think many of you do enjoy Mark next week, and then I'll be back the week after, and so then we're gonna take this again a step further, opening up the rib cage, the shoulders, the hips even more. So as you feel ready, you can roll to a side, come to sitting, and then come to standing to see how you feel from this lesson.